Hello, magic seekers, and welcome to It Turns Out She's a Witch.
We're your hosts, Laura and Shannon,
and welcome to our podcast coven.
Turns Out She's a Witch podcast would like to begin today by acknowledging the Dakanyang people, traditional custodians of the land on which we live and record the podcast. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Welcome back to the podcast, our wonderful coven. We are now at episode number 13 and season 6, and we have a bit of a deep one today, but hopefully a very helpful episode for your ear holes and one that I'm sure majority of people in this modern world can certainly relate to. So we thought that after the recent eclipse season and Mercury retrograde, which is over the day this is released, praise the Lord, my God.
Praise be.
We are delving into anxiety and the different ways that we can support ourselves as witches, as there are a lot. It's a many different ways, I have certainly realised after doing a bit of a deep dive into what we could talk about today.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge. And
I guess another huge caveat that we need to do up top of this episode is, obviously, we are not, you know, mental health experts, and this is an episode talking about our own experiences and things that work for us and things that we've read about and things we find to be true. Take that as you will. And if it resonates, great. Obviously, if you're suffering and you need professional advice, this podcast won't be that, you know, number one stop shop for you. But there's wherever you are in your local community, there are national numbers, country numbers for all kinds of things mental health related. So we obviously encourage you to seek those supports and those numbers out. But like Shannon was just saying, and that we'll get back to, it is unfortunately not uncommon these days to have experienced all things anxiety, and that's where we're coming from in today's episode, because unfortunately we're all too familiar with these with these feelings. So we do want to normalize it to an extent and share what we've learned and all those sorts of things.
Definitely, especially after, you know, it's been a really big month energetically, and I just feel like out in the world and everyone I've been speaking to lately has just felt so frazzled and on edge and uneasy and all of these feelings. So hence when we, you know, didn't really know what we're going to talk about today, and I was like, what about the anxious witch? Let's delve into the anxious witch. We've had the green witch and the hedge witch and, you know, all the sea witch. Yeah. What about the poor anxious witch?
Yeah. And how about we add that word to supporting the anxious witch?
definitely. So today we're going to touch on some beautiful things, so like grounding ritual practices, crystals, herbs, and also some somatic techniques as well. So there's going to be lots in your toolkit. And look, a lot of this stuff many people would already know, but it's just nice to, to share and to hear about it. And maybe there will be a little golden nugget that you can implement into your life and it might make a big difference.
Absolutely. And being able to wrap this episode in so much love and so much kindness and tenderness for a topic that can be confusing sometimes. So being able to offer this in a sweet little podcast that you can revisit hopefully many times or share around to people that you might feel would resonate with this and would like to hear this as well would be a great way to share the love.
I wholeheartedly agree. So straight off the bat, I thought, what is anxiety?
Yes.
Like what the fuck is it?
What the fuck?
That's basically
that feeling right there.
Bottle it up.
So anxiety is, you know, those feelings of fear, dread, and uneasiness that you just can't quite put your finger on. And, you know, a lot of the time you don't know why you feel that way. There might not even be a particular trigger. It just sometimes it's just there.
Yeah.
So some symptoms are trouble concentrating or making decisions, feeling irritable, tense, or restless, experiencing nausea or abdominal distress, having heart palpitations, sweating, trembling, or shaking, trouble sleeping. That's me right there, trouble sleeping. Or having a sense of impending danger, panic, or doom. So it might be just a few of those things. It might be the whole collection. But yeah, that is generally anxiety. And from what I understand, it's forward based. So it's that fear of what is going to happen, not so much what has happened in the past. Although things that have happened in the past can
perpetuate, set you up.
Yeah.
As opposed to thinking about the present moment and what's in your immediate situation. Moment to moment, it is that, like you're saying, forward focused thought. So it's in your head.
the worrying
is in your head, and the stories that you're telling yourself about X, Y, and Z. However, when you were reading those symptoms, a lot of them were physical, weren't they?
Yeah.
So it really is, you know, that's the science behind how our thought patterns and those sorts of energetics manifest in our body. I mean, you don't have to, you know, connect dots or draw wide circles to see how these things impact us so deeply, because we're all, you know, many faceted people, and what we're thinking will definitely manifest in our body.
That is so true, and I love that you touched on that, because you know, you think about, you've got your etheric body, your energetic body, you've got your physical body, you've got your spiritual aspect as well. And then the thing that kind of gels it all together, and this was a really big epiphany for me last week, is your nervous system. Your nervous system is a huge link between everything. So, you know, for someone like me especially, I definitely I'm an empath and I can feel things, and that is how I intuit. So it comes through my body first, and then if my nervous system isn't grounded, it can send me into anxiety, because it's like, what are these feelings? Are they mine? Is it, you know, is it other people's, and all that sort of stuff. So and it can really block you spiritually, as in like channeling and your intuition. If you're not feeling grounded, it can be a lot.
And I've also spoken to people who have learned to disassociate themselves no matter what they're going through. They will happily step out so they can engage with others and intuit fine when it's for other people, but not for themselves as well. So no one escapes this. It's such a very real human and learnt human behaviour. To deal with. And I guess that's why we're here in such a dense body, in such a dense reality, to work through these things. And to go right out wide is, we can't have the highs without having the lows. And somehow, you know, we're naturally trying to come back to homeostasis somewhere in between the two. And sometimes we need help too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I thought we will delve into some different modalities and different tools that we can use to help, to assist.
Great.
So first of all, and you're going to love this one, you have plants, so herbs.
Ooh, yes.
And it is a treasure trove, and this is something that has been used for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So they can be taken as supplements. But disclaimer, of course, please seek advice from a naturopath or a health professional first before you take anything. You can brew as beautiful teas. They come in many forms, such as oils, and you can use those topically or you can use them aromatically, and also in spells. So you've got so many uses for herbs and plants.
Yeah.
So some amazing ones for anxiety in particular are ashwagandha. I personally love that for calming my nervous system in the evening. You have valerian, which is very good and useful for sleeping. Passion flower, which is another great one for nighttime. Lemon balm, lavender, which I basically bathe myself in before I go to bed every night, my poor husband.
There is a meme going around, and I laugh every time I see it, just about this person like covered in lavender. They're lying down pretty much in a lavender farm.
I reckon that's what April needed. You just needed to hide in a lavender farm. And my all-time favorite is chamomile, like the humble chamomile, but it is so gentle yet powerful. So there's just some tip of the iceberg there, but many plants that you can look into and perhaps incorporate into your daily practices.
I love it. And what about looking at a massive big tree and just taking in the immenseness of that and just going, you are magnificent, and if you can survive these with your deep, deep roots and your tall, tall branches and your breezing in and out of every day, sometimes I like visualizing something like that to just make me feel smaller and make my problems just turn their volume down a little bit.
Yeah, that is very sage advice. I love that.
But I love plants. I'm such a plant nut.
Well, another thing too, our beautiful friend Stacey, when we I did the priestess path with her.
Yes, you did.
And one of the first things she got us to do was to find something in nature. So it could be a rock, a stick, a flower, and then you had to sit there with this object and just stare at it and take in all the details, the color, everything for 5 minutes. And it couldn't be any less than 5 minutes. And I had a frangipani flower that I found on the lawn, and it was like going into a trance. By the 5 minutes, like I was, like it got kind of psychedelic. I'm like looking at it going, wow, like, you know, the yellow was like really popping, and the smell.
The smell of a frangipani.
Oh, it's like incredible. Yeah, but just the mindfulness of being present with something and not engaging in anything else just for 5 minutes. It was, quite profound.
Truly, hey? And it just sounds so simple, but it is not easy done. 5 minutes is a long time when you are not doing anything else.
Yes, and when you're a busy mom.
Right, you can get a lot done in 5 minutes if you sit there and stare at a flower. It's good for you. Like, I get it.
It is.
100% reset.
Yeah, definitely. So next, this is like one of my favorite subjects, crystals.
Haha, yes, please.
Of course I was going to talk about crystals.
How do crystals help us with anxiety, Shannon?
Oh, look, so many ways. You can carry some in your pocket, your bra, your handbag. You can wear jewelry with certain stones that offer protection or soothing. I know years ago when I was going through quite a big emotional time, I wore blue kyanite for a long time just to help me
blue
process.
Kyanite. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to talk about that very soon.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, it's just a way to support energetically, and even literally using a crystal like a worry stone, like a touch stone that you can just hold and, you know, rub your thumb on, and that can really bring you back into your body as well. So, also you can create mandalas as a form of a moving meditation. If you're not someone that can like sit there and meditate, which a lot of people find quite difficult, gather a whole bunch of crystals and create a pattern and really focus on that.
I love that.
You can hold them in your hands while you're meditating if you are a meditator. Something I love to do is place them in your bath water.
I don't think I've ever done that.
You need to go do that, like after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could well do.
You've just got to make sure that they're obviously not crystals like selenite or things that are damaged by water, but things like rose quartz, clear quartz, like amazing. Chuck them in a bath, get in the bath.
Yeah. Makes so much sense. Put them around the bath so you can look at them too, right?
Put them everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that won't climb.
Moving right along. Not that kind of episode. Sorry. Leave it to me. Sorry, Shannon.
It's all good. And then also like having them in your sacred space and, you know, making your space feel beautiful and bringing that energy in. Also having them around your sacred space. So using them in gridding and for protection and just that's such a safety thing too, just to know that they're there and they're doing what they're meant to do and they're warding. And I find that does help my anxiety a lot of the time too.
I'm glad you just mentioned that because a lot of causes of anxiety are a threat to safety of some description. So if you've done something preemptively or proactively, such as gridding, or you've remembered you've done this and that and the other, simply remembering that will hopefully help to remind yourself or alleviate things that will help you dial it back a notch or two. Could work for you.
Very much. I wholeheartedly agree, and it does work for me. So then I thought I would delve into some particular crystals that are really helpful for anxiety in particular. And coming in, number one, you can't go past amethyst.
Yeah. I love amethyst.
Good old amethyst. It's beautiful, calming. It's got that gorgeous purple color. And it is considered a soothing crystal with a very gentle energy. And it's believed to bring clarity, calm, helping to quiet the mind and reduce stress and anxiety. So it's a lovely one to have in your bedroom as well, or near your bed to help with sleep.
Beautiful. I have it in rings, I have it in pendants, I have it around my house.
She's just got it everywhere.
Yeah, I love amethyst. It's my first love, my first crystal love.
Beautiful. Well, onto my first crystal love, rose quartz. And you've got that beautiful pink color, and it's often associated with love and emotional healing. And it's said to promote feelings of self-love, self-worth, which can be very beneficial for those experiencing anxiety due to negative self-perception or, you know, those negative thought patterns. So it's a lovely one to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another, these are all my favourite. So you've got blue calcite as well. This particular stone I've got to, and it's really economical too, calcite. So they're more of a cheaper stone to buy, but I've got two massive chunks that are kind of like tennis ball size, and I hold those when I meditate. So and even when I'm doing my cards or journaling, I have those kind of sitting either side of me. So they're...
Like guardians.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So blue calcite is calming. It soothes frayed nerves and lessens anxieties. You can use it when you're recuperating from illness or grief. And it facilitates physical healing by clearing negative emotions. And it also encourages rest and relaxation. So it's just an all-round beautiful, beautiful stone.
Sounds lovely.
Then on to black tourmaline. So it's known for its grounding properties, and it's also very soothing and a popular choice for those looking to absorb negative energy. And it's said to create a protective shield around the individual, which can be comforting for those feeling overwhelmed. And personally, I've got it everywhere in my house. It's like literally over every single freaking doorway. In the pot plants at all the doors.
Buried in the pots at the front and the back doors, and
that's all
the doorways.
Goodie.
Yeah.
And another really good one to have about the home is smoky quartz. So it's kind of that, well, it ranges in color. You can get it really pale brown right into like a really deep, almost black. And it's believed to help ground and connect you to the earth, providing a calming presence. It's also associated with letting go of the old negative energy patterns, which can be beneficial for anxiety relief.
Yeah. I love smoky quartz.
And then on to citrine. So recognized by its yellow to orange shades, citrine is often used for its uplifting and energizing properties. It is said to foster a sense of optimism and positivity, which can be helpful for those battling anxiety. And citrine is said to hold the energy of the sun. So, sun is great. So if you've got that even in just rock form, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with us going into winter.
Holy smokes. Yeah, we need some more of that around the place.
And then another beautiful stone is sodalite. So it is blue in colour, usually has a bit of white through it as well. Mm. And it is thought to bring emotional balance and calm. It's believed to encourage rational thought, objectivity, and intuition. And these are qualities that are very useful when trying to manage anxiety.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Have some pocket worry stones of any of those. And it's like a little talisman almost.
Yeah. And then on to fluorite. So this crystal often comes in a beautiful mixture of like purples, greens, sometimes even blue, and it is believed to absorb and neutralize negative energy and stress. So it promotes concentration, self-confidence, and peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And I know we used this a lot when my daughter was doing her HSC. I'm at her desk right now, but
nice generator. Yeah.
Generators and points and all sorts of things. She really used that a lot and still does. She's at uni and
supportive.
Yeah, fluorite really supports her.
Beautiful.
Then on to aquamarine. So it's that beautiful, like pale greeny blue color, and it's said to evoke the tranquility of the sea and thought to be calming, cleansing, helping to reduce stress and quiet the mind.
Mm. That sounds beautiful.
Oh, it is. And then blue kyanite that I was touching on before. So this is a really beautiful stone because it doesn't accumulate or retain negative energy and it doesn't need to be cleansed.
Mm, it's the lazy gal crystal.
It really is. So it aligns the chakras and subtle bodies, bringing tranquility and a calming effect to your whole being. And it's an exceptional stone for transitioning into deep meditative states. And as I touched on before, I used it, you know, when I was going through quite an emotional time and, it really supported me.
Mm.
And then lucky last is, like, there's a million of them, but these were
Doubt.
I actually was going to make it 10 and it's 11 because I had to squish another one in there.
Ooh.
So you've got lepidolite, and it is an excellent stone for stress relief and has a calm, positive vibration and stimulates synchronicity. It's a very stabilizing stone, balancing out the heart, mind, and spirit. It helps to ground your energy, dissolving blocks that keep you from moving forward in life. And one of the best stones to use for anxiety, as it actually contains lithium in the stone. And use it to calm the chaos of your mind and soothe you to sleep. So it is a really beautiful one. And it's like a purple color, but kind of has flecks of silver mica.
Catches the light, doesn't it? Mm. It's almost sparkly. I know I've seen it. I don't actually have a piece of that, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a goodie. So that is my top 11 crystals.
Wowee.
If you would like to, work with those, they're very supportive. Then on to the Captain Obvious, meditation.
Meditation. And how hard, it's so hard to carve aside time to meditate when you are in that overwhelm of that anxiety, anxious, like peak, when you're peaking out, the last thing that you're going to find time for is meditate.
But, it makes you feel so much better. But it's that cycle, isn't it? It's so hard. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Circuit and I am. Breaker. And I love how you said peaking out.
Peaking out, yeah.
It's a thing. But yeah, I know when I'm like really highly anxious, I'm a cleaner. Like I clean and I get busy. I'm like, I can't sit still, and that helps me move or go to the gym or whatever. But yeah, like meditation is amazing if you can be disciplined enough to make yourself sit down for 5 minutes. But I'm that's like, also another thing. There's, you know, plenty of guided meditations on YouTube. You know, you've got meditations that go for five minutes.
Or insight an timer. Hour.
Yes. Yeah, insight timer is great.
There's also an app, as I'm sure there's billions out there, but being a healthcare worker, as probably we're already sick of hearing me say time and time again, there's an app called Treat, T-R-E-A-T, and it's designed by a very clever nurse who's gone on and studied many things, counselling and psychotherapy and mindfulness-based techniques, and I hope I've got that right. But on her, on the app, there are guided meditations from anywhere between 2 minutes to more than an hour. So,
wow.
You know, and it was for, you know, say a busy nurse who there's a washing hands mindfulness meditation that you literally plug in and do. And so everyone's got to wash their hands, and it takes you through this just brilliant way to sort of cleanse, ground, release, you know, protect, that sort of thing. You know, and not in that necessarily out there language, just really palatable, really practical. I've only got 5 minutes. So you dial in your time, and then you're given about three or four options of what meditation you can have. And incredible. It's just, yeah, it's practical magic. I reckon it's practical magic, but it's just really accessible for anyone on any time frame to be able to initiate what I've come to call circuit breakers. When you have recognized you need something, you don't know what, and if you've got a myriad of choices there, that's a really useful one, I find. Yeah.
Amazing.
And it makes meditation easy and achievable.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And I'm sure we will be putting links in the show notes for all the things we're going to talk about today.
I need to be writing these down because that's my job. Noted.
Now, another wonderful thing is mantras or affirmations, and these are so powerful and, once again, super easy. It's something you can tap into, you can repeat in your mind, or you can voice it out loud, and it can be something as simple as I am safe, I am held, I am loved. I am safe, I am held, I am loved. Another great one I love to use is all is unfolding with perfect synchronicity. Or simply, all is well. You hear me say that all the time. All is well. All is well.
I think I've started saying that too. I'm not sorry. It's beautiful. It's so true though.
It is. It is. And for those that may be very new to mantras or affirmations, I think she's the guru of it all is Louise Hay, and she has so many amazing books. There's You Can Heal Your Life and also Heart Thoughts. They're just two off the top of my head that are amazing and all about just, you know, how we talk to ourselves basically and the words we use, how powerful they are.
They are so super powerful. And that is, there's so much power in knowledge, isn't it? So when you've got the ability to know where to go, or just a couple of places that might be forms of support, it always leads to more. And the more you walk down that path, the more that you find things that resonate with you. So, you know, it opens up so many beautiful doorways that are designed to support you. So figuring out what that is and what you need, you know, they're the biggest ones to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. Now, another one that I've been introduced to lately is havening, and I was chatting to you about this. So my beautiful naturopath and therapist Lisa Turnbull from Meraki recently told me about this technique. So it's an alternative therapy that uses touch. It can also involve eye movements and other sensory inputs to reduce stress, anxiety, and discomfort. So its developers originally called it amygdala rep- oh gosh, I'm gonna fuck this up. Repotentiation.
I don't even know what you're trying to say.
Repotentiation. Amygdala repotentiation therapy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got nothing. But I must say, I'm super impressed you got amygdala right, because I fuck that up all the time in front of lots of people when I'm doing well-being discussions and education sessions, and I talk about the amygdala hijack and our fight, flight, freeze response. And well done you. And no Thanks. Idea about that other.
Yeah, repotentiation therapy. So they believe it changes how the amygdala of the brain processes our emotions.
Yeah, through repetition of practicing something by the sounds of the words.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So in a nutshell, it calms the nervous system, signaling that we are safe and therefore eliminating the fight, flight, freeze that you just spoke of, response that anxiety can bring on. So how to? It's very simple. The basic technique involves crossing your arms over your chest so it appears as if you're hugging yourself, and then you rub your arms in a downward motion from your shoulders to your elbows. And it's this thing of bringing you into the present moment. So you are aware of the feeling of touching your own arms, but also the feeling of receiving the touch. So it's bringing you back to your body, basically. Another few other techniques you might want to try is while you're using the basic havening arm rub, breathe calmly and say out loud, calm and relaxed, for 1 to 2 minutes. You can begin with the basic haven arm rub and envision a peaceful scene. So stroking the top of your forehead and moving the hands down either side of the face in a slow, gentle stroke. Another technique is using the basic havening arm rub while breathing deeply. Eliminate the pause between inhaling and exhaling while paying close attention to your breath. This was one Lisa told me about. So the hand rubbing. So you start with the downward arm rub and then you gently stroke your palms one over the other, alternating back and forth. And it's, again, like noticing how it feels to touch your own palms, but then the receiving. So it just brings your awareness like right into your body and how you're feeling. And I really loved this one. So envision self-compassion and loving kindness as a color.
Ooh.
And then as you're performing the basic arm rub technique while picturing this color covering your body. So you continue with the downward forehead and the face rubs, then continue to stroke the palms of your hands. So cycling through these three motions while picturing the colour of loving kindness kind of enveloping you.
Yeah. And that is taking care of all your thought space, isn't it? That's really engaging with your visualization, which you've got to think about, and you've got this sensory physical movement that you're doing. So if you're concentrating on all of that, there's no room for anxiety. I love that. And I love what you were saying about the palms of the hands, because we're so tactile and they're so sensitive. There's so many receptors in our hands. If we're just preoccupied with that, along with everything else, amazing.
And the hand one too, that's something you could do pretty inconspicuously, like if you're at work or in public and you're not going to look as weird as you would if you were like stroking your arms from the shoulders to the elbows.
I'm havening. Just give me a moo. I'll be good to go. 5 minutes of havening. makes sense. I love that. Very, very practical suggestions that is accessible that we can try. And big, big shout out, big, big love to Lisa Turnbull, because not only do you see her, but I see her too and have done for quite some time. She's an incredible therapist and we're so lucky to actually, we didn't even know that we both saw her to begin with. We
just started talking about that.
I'm so funny. It's so random and then so not random because she's really perfect. And love you, Lisa.
We need to
listening.
Definitely need to get her on the podcast at some point because she's a treasure trove of lots of different modalities.
She's got it all.
So then I thought we would move on to ritual practices. And there's so many. And as witches, get creative. And these all bring mindfulness. It brings you into the present moment of what you are doing, the intention you're setting, and the energy you are creating.
Powerful intentions, and empowers us to take back that, to take that back the power for risk of repeating it. Once again, it truly is though, when you're able to switch and return to your own inner source of power. Beautiful. Rituals, magic, witches, we're here to do this shit.
We are, we are. And I know I've spoken about it on the podcast so much over the last six seasons about how much ritual, ceremony, magic, witchcraft has helped me with a lifetime battle of anxiety, how it has helped me be in my body and helped me to get through things with so much more ease and grace than I ever did before. That's for sure. Right.
And it's a lifetime practice, dancing with anxiety. There's no end point. There is lifetime.
No magic pill.
No, that's, you know, you just learn ways to support yourself. You learn what you need in any situation because it's not always going to be the same thing.
Mm.
So I think it's great to be able to talk about that, that we're all, you know, we're all under construction. There's no end result. We're practicing these techniques and tools and tips and things that we've come to learn that work.
Absolutely. And that is a thing with anxiety too. I feel on healing in general, like you feel like you kind of get a grip on it, or you like elevate to a new level and you're like, yeah, I've got this.
You sussed it out.
Then, then, you know, life spirals back and kicks you in the ass again. And no, hang on, there's something else to uncover or learn or realize.
Next level.
Or let go of. Basically. But I guess it's knowing that. That's normal. That's so normal. And it's part of life, is experiencing all of these feelings and honoring that and working with it.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
So back to rituals.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, I love it. That's what we're here for tonight. So candle gazing, this is one that I love. You know, I love candle magic, but even just simply lighting a candle and gazing at that candle, let it hold your attention, and it's so powerful. Present moment, simple.
Absolutely.
So simple.
It's so cathartic to stare at a flame and watch it flicker and watch it move and look at the colours and incredible.
And ritual baths, like one of my favourite things to do. So as we spoke about before, put crystals in there or you know, your different salts, you've got your beautiful oils you can work with. You can even buy pre-made bath mixes that, you know, do all the relaxing stuff. So
yeah.
I know Rhiannon from the Spiritual Toolbox has amazing ones. Just make it a ritual. Like light the candles, get the crystals, get the salts, have the herbal tea, like create
support
that beautiful
yourself.
Space. Yeah. Put rose petals in there, for God's sakes, if you feel like it.
That's, absolutely.
Pimp your bath out.
Pimp it. Pimp for anxiety. We need to make a badge, man.
We really do. Now, another thing that often gets overlooked but is so fucking powerful, grounding in nature. Like how powerful yet simple.
Yeah.
So walk barefoot on the ground, whether it's the grass, the beach, the dirt, whatever it is. But such a powerful practice, especially if you are having a moment, just take your shoes off, go outside, stand on the lawn, look up at the sky, take some big deep breaths. Another thing too, this just came across my feed. Have you heard of drifting?
Oh, I have not.
Obviously, you know how these bloody iPhones work. They've been listening to our conversation today and this came up, but I found it really interesting. So when we are near water, our brains enter a semi-meditative state known as drifting. Drifting is a special form of attention where we are engaged with the world around us but not focused on getting something done. So that was really interesting. So it's from... It's from the book Blue Mind. A marine biologist, Wallace J. Nichols, states being near water allows us to access a semi-meditative state known as drifting. Drifting is a special form of attention where we're engaged with the world around us but not focused on getting something done. A study done by the University of California, Davis, showed that just looking at a body of water can decrease our heart rate and blood pressure. This is the reason why many of us enjoy sitting near rivers, lakes, and beaches. Being near natural water is one of the most powerful ways to nurture our nervous system.
So I thought that was really beautiful. Drifting. No, I haven't heard of that before. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'd neither.
And I really love that nature and how you were saying engaging with the senses. That's what you said, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
And how the elements, all the elements, and how as witches we have a healthy respect and a healthy appreciation for them. Probably much more than the uninitiated to the witchy world, but, you know, we're able to sort of lean into the properties of each element. We're able to perhaps, even if we spend a little bit of time deciphering what we need and what can best support us in that moment, we can engage with the element that we need in that moment at that time and really get magic if we want to.
Yeah, I love that. And it's having that reverence for the natural world and the elements, and I think that's something that witches do have, which you know, you notice things a little bit more, like you don't go about blindly. I don't think, like, you go outside and you notice the bird that's flying across the sky. Well, I know I do.
Or you
notice the phase of the moon, or you notice
you begin to pay more attention. That's where it starts, and then you find yourself living by that. It's a slippery slope. But it is that reverence, and it is that understanding, and it is that living with that. And, again, coming down to the reciprocal nature of that. So what does that element offer us, and what do we give back in return, and how can it support us, and how can we support that? And on it goes. And that, again, when we return to those, essentially it grounds us. No matter what element it is, we're returning to that equilibrium, essentially. And there we are. We're, you know, we've unwound ourselves.
Oh, I love that. So another thing we can also do is an oracle card reading or divination of any kind for yourself. So you know, I'm a very, very, very firm believer that we all have the answers within ourselves.
Yes.
And it's just taking that time to tap in. And, you know, sometimes it can, if you are feeling really anxious about a particular thing, you know, it can help you gain some insight and clarity or even validation around an issue. So once something that's super simple, grab your oracle deck, tap it three times, give it a shuffle and just say, what would you like me to know? It's so simple. And pull a card, even if it's just one card, and go from there.
That's right. If you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you've got a oracle deck.
Yes. And if you don't, go out and get one.
Or know where to find them. I highly recommend Of Earth and Ether.
Oh, thank you.
Shameless plug.
I hear that coming.
You're going a little bit pink, which is also very cute because you are so beautiful, but you are bloody magnificent. And I do love your oracle deck, and I do love your sacred stones. And, you know, I just I love that you're so humble, but honestly, you're brimming with all kinds of information about how to support yourself in a magical and very deeply rooted intentional way. And that's what's in both of those things, as well as the other ritual things that you make. Like those spell mugs are pretty bloody cool too.
Oh, I do love me a spell mug. Currently drinking out of one right now.
Yes, I am a bit of an ashes slut. Sorry, guys. But
I love it.
You know, it's, you walk the talk and you practice what you preach, and I love that. I love you're still so real too. You know, it's refreshing.
Oh, thank you. Well, that was part of the reason I started Asher Moon. Actually, it was the reason I started Asher Moon. When I think about it, it was literally to create ritual tools magic in the mundane. Like that was my goal, was just to create these items that could be implemented into your daily life really easily. So whether it's, yeah, just having a cup of coffee out of a crystal embellished mug, and that's your special mug that makes your morning routine a little bit more special and mindful and magical.
It changes the routine into a ritual, because that signifies you're spending that time with you, on yourself, setting yourself up. You're not just chugging it down your throat with 30 seconds to go as you're doing something else. You can sit down and look at it.
Definitely.
Amazing.
It's pretty to look at.
Yeah.
So back to our ritual practices. Captain Obvious, the lunar cycles and seasons, like tap into those. See what phase the moon's at. Notice the seasons. I love this time of year because I'm really noticing that change of, you know, in the mornings it's getting quite cool, and the evenings, and and the plants, the change in the plants, even the animals, and you know, the
they're bees. Telling us what to do.
They really are. So tap into that, and also take note, like especially for those of us in the southern hemisphere at the moment, you might not be feeling as energetic. You are probably getting ready to go into hibernation mode a bit more, and honor that you, it's not summer, so don't have to be full throttle right now.
That's right.
Also, a big one for women are noting where you are in your own monthly cycle. So this has a huge impact on our anxiety levels. So if you're like at your PMS phase and you don't actually realize you're PMSing, like just, knowing where you're at and being prepared for it too. So maybe don't schedule as much on those days, or when you're bleeding, like just take care of yourself and your energy, be mindful of it.
Yeah. Hormones and strategy, you know, who would have thought it, but it truly is having a look at where you're headed, where you're going, what you've got on, and how you can support yourself in those moments. Because it's not all the same.
No, it's not. And it's not a one size fits all thing either. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Another thing you might want to do is petitioning a deity for help. You know, you might work with someone in particular, so asking for assistance. Also, tapping into your ancestors. If you're someone that works with angels, or, you know, your spirit guides, whoever it is, whatever it is, like ask for assistance, ask for help if you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed or anxious. And I thought it'd be nice to talk about one that you might want to seek assistance from is the Greek goddess of healing, Hygieia. And she is in my trusty Encyclopedia of Spirits. I haven't used in ages.
I'm so happy to see that book, Shannon. I so love when you read from it. And I love the names Hygieia as in hygiene, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Mind blown.
So Hygieia is the goddess of good health and healing. She protects against all potential dangers to health. The word hygiene is derived from her name. You are so smart, Laura.
Oh, my gosh, because it's really hard to denote one from the other. Thanks, Shannon.
So she is the daughter of divine healer Asclepios. Oh, here we go with all the Greek pronunciation. I'm sorry, everybody. And may be venerated alongside her father. A theory exists that Asclepios, his family, is cobbled together of various independent healing deities who were then worshipped together as a mini pantheon. Although Hygieia is worshipped alongside her father, she's not particularly subordinate. She's a goddess in her own right who works with her father. She may also be venerated independently. She was first venerated at least as early as the 7th century BCE. Hygieia's primary shrines included those in Kos, Corinth, and Pergamon. So her iconography, her statues were created by the most renowned sculptors of the time. Statues depict her standing alone with her father or her whole family, which is like mother and siblings too. Hygieia is traditionally envisioned as a beautiful young woman feeding a large snake entwined around her, often from a vessel held in her hand. So her sacred snake, a sacred animal, is the snake.
Wow.
And the offerings people traditionally left were hair.
Okay.
And yeah, so some of your hair you could leave at her shrines, attaching it to her statue. Clothing or fabric was apparently attached as well. So that is just a little bit about Hygieia, but you know, you might want to make an offering to her to ask for healing and, you know, pluck a little bit of your hair out and leave that on your altar.
Amazing. Who can't do that? That's great.
I know.
I love that. Oh.
So that is kind of the end of all the things that I could think of off the top of my head to chat about with this episode. But another thing that I was going to say from my session with Lisa last week that did hit me, because when I am anxious, it does affect my sleep. It definitely affects my sleep. I'm one of these people, I'll fall asleep for like 3 hours and then wake up and then the monkey mind starts and then I start catastrophizing and thinking about things from 3 years ago and things that have to be done in 6 months and all that sort of shit.
So helpful at 3 in the morning.
Stuff. It really is. So, yeah, something that I went through in our conversation with Lisa is you can't do all the things in the hour before bed and then think you're going to be like set for sleep and, you know, anxious.
Okay. Oh, Lisa.
It's just like common sense, because it was like a light bulb moment for me, because basically, as you know, like I have a very, very full, busy life.
Yes.
And I do a lot of rituals throughout my day, but I had let a little bit of, you know, self-care slide and that sort of thing. So it was a bit of a kick in the ass for me about being more mindful that you can't go through your whole entire day, you know, hectic and busy and, you know, no time to do anything, and then get to the hour before bed and have your magnesium and douse yourself in lavender and have your chamomile and then think that that's going to stick the Band-Aid on.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yep. So it's being mindful throughout your day. If you are someone that struggles with sleep like I do, you've got to set yourself up the whole day, not just right before bed.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I'm glad you brought that up. So that's been your number one thing that you're working on with anxiety.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's just been, I think, since eclipse season, really, which was at the start of the month, my sleep was affected so badly. I think I went about 2 weeks of living on like 3-4 hours sleep because I just could not go back to sleep. And then it's that horrible cycle. You get anxiety about going to bed and not being able to sleep. So
you get anxiety about the anxiety.
I was getting to that point where I was getting to bed going, oh, my gosh, I'm probably going to wake up. And then, but anyway. So happy report. The last is probably 5 days. I've been sleeping all night and, it's worked, just being a bit more mindful throughout my day to slow things down a bit and, you know, have these moments and get my ass down to the beach and make an effort to practice what I preach.
Well, hey, we're all human, and it's just one of those things that some days we're firing on all cylinders and everything seems a bit easier and we can handle things, and other days not so much. And if we have these tools, if we have had some pre-thought about what's worked in the past or what we might like to try in the future, then we've got somewhere to go and try at least. There's so much power in knowledge.
There really is. And understanding that, you know, sometimes things do slip. Life for me this past month has been extremely busy. Yeah. There's been lots on. And understandably so, sometimes that self-care and mindfulness does, you know, slip to the wayside. But it's when you are feeling those feelings of anxiety, that is your red flag going, come on, you've got to get back on the spiritual wagon, please.
Yeah, really paying attention to that and listening to those warning signs, because they don't go away when we ignore them. Strangely enough.
No, they do not. funny, isn't it?
As nice as that would be. And I think 100%, you know, working in the energetics of things as well sort of sets you up to be more exposed to more energetics, and it's that nature of it too, isn't it? So the more you can take on, the more comes your way. So it does feed itself, and dressed up in that way, or, you know, burnout. And, you know, I work with a lot of healthcare people, and it's burnout is very predominant, and stress and anxiety and vicarious trauma. They're all different, you know, things, but stress is the precursor for a lot of them, and stress and anxiety are delinquent friends, aren't they?
That go they hand are, in hand. They love hanging out.
Yeah, unless we can identify when they're in the playground and how much attention they're demanding of you, then it's easy to just let them run riot. Left unchecked, I suppose. So
need to know when it's time to push them off the swings.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell them who's boss. But it can be tricky, and it's a very real thing. And in such a fast-paced world, we're quite often, you know, exposed to so much, and it's easy to go on a spiral out of control. But there's so much in this episode that's on offer to many people, from, you know, from crystals to plants to mindfulness-based meditations that you can get on an app, and mindfulness practices that you can do in nature, and grounding yourself and working with the elements and ritualizing to help just dial down the stress and anxiety and return to yourself a bit more and have more of a grounded approach to things.
Well, I think that's the crux of it all, especially as, you know, magic practitioners and people that work with energy. To be your most power, in your most powerful state, is to be grounded, is to be in your body, is to be present. So, it's really important, very important on that aspect as well, not just for your health.
For everything, all those bodies that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And when we are in our body and when we are grounded, there's less room for anxiety. So returning to that state.
Yes. Now, dear Laura, do we have a divine tool of the week?
We do. And I've actually got two, because I was going to weave something in. I wrote some little notes and I was going to weave something into our talks during the episode, but I didn't quite get there yet. So it's from one of our favouritest people in the whole widest world, Stacey DeMarco, and something that we've both learned a little bit about through our work with her is statecraft. So how to change your state from one state to another. So if you're feeling anxious, how can you move yourself out of that? And music, as she so teaches us and takes us through workshops in person and, you know, via our various online courses. But it's really that the power of music, or the power of just being interacting with something that will shift your state of being from one moment into a more desirable one, and opening yourself up to other things. But in the state of being anxious, just putting on your favorite music and having a jiggle around the room, or something more supportive and grounding, you know, whatever you need. It's up to that individual thing and who's around and what time you kind of have. But statecraft, I thought, for witches, looking at what can support you to move from one state to another would be great. For a divine tool would be wonderful. But then also a really nerdy one that I use at work. So it's an evidence-based tool. It's like your own care plan. So thinking about being proactive and preemptive to support your own states of anxiety when you find that you're in one ahead of time. So thinking about mapping out what you can do ahead of time. And that is from readings that I've done on well-being and stress and anxiety, and how to try and counteract those feelings. A lot of it can be sort of, you know, experienced when we're in those states. We can feel a bit ambivalent to want to sort of enact change, to really find motivation to do something differently and then repeat it to create a new habit, it sounds like a whole lot of effort. And especially when we're already in an anxious, heightened state, it's even harder. Yeah. So I quite often talk about proactive well-being and preemptive measures that we can get in ahead of time when we're feeling okay. So if you're feeling great when you're listening to this podcast, now is the perfect time to be engaging in some deeper thought processes about what you might do in future times when you are feeling a little bit anxious or stressed out, and how you can get in there and nip it in the bud a bit sooner than what you may have in past times. And so, yeah, so really counteracts that feeling of ambivalence when we're in that state and it's all too hard. If we can be a bit proactive, then it helps in future. Mm. So do it for future self. So the Divine Tool is a wellness plan. And I will adapt it slightly from my source, which I use for all my work-based projects that I do. So it's from the Nurse and Midwife Support website. So it's an evidence-based tool. And I'm going to read out the subheadings. And they are. So the idea is you think about these things ahead of time, you write down your sort of care plan of what you can do. It's your own action plan when you're feeling that you might need a bit of help. Mm-hmm. So you're writing down your strengths. So you're already identifying all the things that you're good at rather than really focusing on all the things that you're shit at, essentially. You're really looking at what you are good at, and you're moving from those places as well, because you're not going to move from a place of weakness in your time of need. You're going to lean into one of your strengths and you're going to impinge on that to begin with. And then the next subheading is how I stay well. And so there's two subcategories here to fill out, and you can write down things you can do alone that you've already figured out about yourself, that you do all these things to stay well, to support yourself, and they're things that you can do alone. And then there's another subcategory of things you can do with others. So there's options here. So this is your go-to plan, remember, when you're feeling not so great. You've already written this down, and, you know, when you're not thinking straight, you can look at this and go, oh, I can do that with someone else, or, oh, that's right, I didn't think of that. I like doing this on my own, and that's what I need now. I want to be alone.
Mm.
For instance. And next you're going to think about any triggering situations or events that you're already aware of. So it could be something from the past, and you're writing them down just in dot points, just to allow that awareness to be there. And so you're already preemptively thinking, well, if I'm in a similar situation like this, I can guarantee I'm not going to be feeling that great. I might be starting to feel stressed or anxious. And so I know this already about myself. So it's that awareness is key. And at work, we have a bit more space. So we fill them in as we go. And that's the same in any, walk of life, isn't it? You can always add to that. And then the next one is writing down and identifying who your supports are, both at work or in your personal life. So you're writing down your cast and your go-to people of who you're going to contact. And, I suppose Lisa's on our top of our list as well in our professional supports.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you're in my personal supports, because we do phone a friend quite often, and that's okay. We have that agreement. So you're writing down your phone of friends there, both professionally and personally, etc. And then the next subcategory is signs that I might not be okay. So you're really doing that self-inquiry, that self-reflection. You know yourself. What can you notice and what can you bring your attention to that you might not be okay? And that can be physical symptoms, that can be behavioural symptoms. I know for me, I get an insane sore jaw because I've been clenching my jaw, and then I'll get a tension headache, which is different to my migraine headache, and then my shoulders will really stiffen up, and I will also start pulling back. I will really start not engaging with people at home or with people at work, and I will try and self-manage, even though it's not, it's not really self-managing, it's just disassociating myself with people. So they're all, you know, some examples of how I know that I'm not doing okay. And another simple one for me is I'll go from having okay nails to pick to having them all picked off or bitten off, and I know that I've been, something's been bothering me. It's funny what you notice about yourself when you think about it.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And the last one is what I can do when I'm not okay. So it could be ringing those people. It could be ringing professional help. It could be, you know, going on websites like Beyond Blue or the Black Dog Institute or Lifeline or all kinds of, you know, these are Australian sources that I'm quoting and referencing right now. But they're everywhere and anywhere. And for nurses and midwives, this nurse and midwife support that I've just been reading this tool out, they've also got a 24/7 support line that's open as well. So there's all these things. There's so many different options that you can do when you're in a heightened state of not feeling well or anxious in this episode's context. So that's my divine tool of the week, is doing your own self help plan ahead of time. So being really proactive and taking some power back and taking some control back of your future self when you're in a time of need. Think about that now. Think about investing some time right now to jot down your own self-care plan, or think about things that you can do. Either from those subcategories that I've read out or from different ideas from this episode. There are so many things on offer and so many things that will appeal to so many different people, from scientific to magical to everywhere in between. And if you're still listening to this podcast, they probably all really appeal to you. So I'd love to ask you guys what works for you and what you have found really great that we might not have discussed, and get that conversation generating some great ideas that we can share around.
Yeah, I love that idea. Sharing is caring, that is for sure. And I feel that was another reason we wanted to do this is, you know, it's such a common thing. I think majority of people experience this feeling at some point in their lives. Other people live with it daily. So, you know, remove the stigma, and talking about it sometimes is a good cure as well. Just expressing how you feel and so and finding, not alone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Finding places where you're not alone and finding sources of help that you can trust is super important.
Definitely, definitely. And before we go, I thought I'd better mention Patreon. Yeah, we do have our beautiful Patreon, which we have such an amazing group. And, yeah, it's just getting stronger and more happening over there all the time. We just had our circle, new moon circle, a couple of weeks ago, which was incredible. It was such a powerful evening, and we've got our next one lined up for June. We do them every 2 months. But there's also lots of different, like, discount codes, guided meditations, which I plan to add to these very, very soon.
I've there's got to be more.
Yes, definitely. We're also talking about doing online courses. Like, this is all been going to brew over winter. So there's more coming. And, yeah, we've got our beautiful monthly prize. So just being a member, you get automatic entry.
There's not there's much heaps. Time before the monthly prize is getting drawn.
No, it's not actually.
It's a beautiful one this well, every month it's beautiful, but Stacey DeMarco goodness. Oh, Stacey's getting the wrap. She always gets the wrap. But.
So, yeah, we've got lots happening over there. So it's $11 a month. That just helps us to, support the podcast and our running costs, and and also helps us to give back to you. So if you can afford it, we would love to see you over there. If not, even just giving us, you know, a nice rating or a review.
Yes.
And subscribing.
Please. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Or even just share this podcast with someone that you might, you know, think would vibe with it. That's also very helpful. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big love to you all. And thank you so much for listening to us and thinking that what we talk about is all right.
And we have a beautiful episode coming up next week on the theme of Samhain and loved ones in spirit. And we have so many amazing listener emails, and I'm very excited for that episode. So make sure you tune in.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Bye.